All right, now we've been talking about the attributes of God. God has so many that I don't know how you'd ever cover them all. But you can just start on it and it just kind of goes on and on and on. But everything you think about God is worth considering. Psalm 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." It's kind of what the psalmist did right there. He just started in, God full of compassion, and he just kept going, same thing. I want to talk for just a few minutes here about God. God is compassionate. God is compassionate. Now that word there, compassion, it involves a deep feeling and emotions because of the sufferings of other people. I don't know, I've been thinking this week a lot about charity and evil thinking. And it just opens up a whole realm of seeing things how it really is. People, us, how we look at others, how we think of others. And, you know, there's just so much. We think of sin as drinking and smoking and cussing and that kind of stuff. And my goodness, we're missing it so far. I mean, all that stuff is, but that's just the rotten fruit of a rotten heart. It's how you treat other people. And the reason we don't treat one another well is because we love ourselves. We're not charitable. We don't have charity. And if you don't have charity, what else matters? According to the 1 Corinthians 13. Nothing else matters. I mean, if you don't have charity, what, no matter what you do, don't count. It's nothing. It avails nothing. Compassion. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, he defined it this way. A suffering with another. Painful sympathy. Now, they've invented a modern word you can't find in the old dictionaries. It's called empathy. But it's not in the old dictionaries. Really, it means compassion. Compassion is really what empathy means. Now, I know what the modern definition is. It's feeling the pain of someone else. Feeling the joy of someone else. Sharing in their feelings and emotions. That's what empathy is. And sympathy is like it's objective. You're looking at them saying, boy, poor them, pitiful them. I sure feel sorry for them. But you don't touch it. You don't involve yourself. It don't really enter in. You know, it's like, I feel your pain. Which has become a joke. It's a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortunes of another. Pity. Compassion is a mixed passion, compounded of love and sorrow. Y'all getting this? Compassion. Jesus looked on the multitudes and had compassion on them. Now, how in the world could he do that? Because he's not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Yeah. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to feel pain. He knew what it was to be rejected and persecuted and treated wrong and unfairly. He knew. He felt it himself. He experienced it himself. Jesus loved the people, and that's why he had compassion on them. But really, love is not necessary to have compassion, other than just a natural, you know, the love of God in us. I mean, just the natural esteem for other people that comes. I mean, you got to kill that in yourself if it's not there. I mean, you've killed it. That's what has happened. How could you look on? I don't understand. We're living in a time like this without compassion. This is how far removed we are from God. God is a God full of compassion. That's why I said to you this morning, how could you imagine a God that would mock at your fear and laugh at your calamity? It's not the way God is. You see God saying, why will you die, O Israel? Look to me and live. He looked up on them and said, live. to those dry bones. I mean, God is a God full of compassion. He judges righteous judgment. Sometimes it's harsh from our viewpoint, but it's because of His love and His compassion that He does those things and did those things in the past. If He hadn't destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah when He did, what shape you reckon we'd be in by now? Huh? If He hadn't destroyed the world in Noah's day, what would have happened? Well, it sure wouldn't be here now the way it is, let me tell you. At least love and sorrow, it's a compounded of love and sorrow. At least some portion of love generally attends the pain or regret or is excited by. I'm still reading out of the dictionary. Extreme distress of an enemy even changes enmity into at least temporary affection. You know, we've fought wars and you've heard all the stories about, like in the Civil War, in World War II, World War I. I've read stories from all of those wars where there were times when both sides came together. You remember watching Gods and Generals and remember when they met in the middle of the creek and talked to one another. And I've read stories about the Germans and the Americans getting together and in the middle of everything. You know, the Germans, when the war was about to end, the Germans were running as hard as they could to get to the western side because they knew the Americans would have compassion on them, where the Russians were not going to. No, we never were a Christian country. No, that's not true. Compassion. Even your enemy, see, you have compassion on them. It's something that ought to be in us if it's in God. And if you're one of God's children, it ought to be in you too. Let me hurry here. Generally, people are moved with compassion upon seeing and learning of the sufferings or misfortunes of others. You feel sorry for people. You have compassion on them. Now, that's godliness. That's what that is. God does that. I'm saying this is an attribute of God. He's full of compassion. I got a whole bunch of more verses to read here before we quit about that. Jesus was full of compassion. He was full of this. When He saw other people suffering and hurting or wronged, He was there to help. He had compassion and He did something about it. He didn't just go away and say, "Boy, that's too bad. Sure feel bad about that." That's sympathy. Compassion is when you do something about it. It can be avoided by not looking upon that which causes it and avoiding its presence. You won't have to worry about it if you just don't ever look that way. Don't ever worry about what's going on in the rest of the world or at your neighbor's house or over in some other state or country. Just don't ever listen to it. Don't ever look. Just make sure that you don't find out about it. That's how you can avoid it. But if you live in this world and you look around you at all, you're going to see plenty to have compassion on. Out of sight, out of mind. That old saying, that's the way that goes. You can avoid it. The more selfish a person is, the less compassion he feels. Boy, that's right. People can lay on the side of the highway and die. We read stories all the time about people dying in the middle of a crowd and everybody just ignoring them laying there. They won't even stop to help them. No compassion. Boy, it sure ain't like God. You know, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan as we know it in the Bible. The priest come by, the Levite come by, what'd they do? They avoided the sight. Here was this man that had been beat up nearly to death and robbed and left in the ditch. And a Levite came by and a priest came by and they went away around to avoid it. But a Samaritan, the woman at the well was a Samaritan. There's nobody returned to give thanks. Remember that time He healed 10 lepers? Nobody returned to give thanks except one who was a Samaritan. Save this stranger, he said. Samaritan. The lowest people. The ones that everybody rejected. They had compassion. Why did that Samaritan have compassion on him? Well, because he knew what it was like to be mistreated. He knew what it was like to fall on hard times. He knew what it was like to suffer and be in pain. Ought to have compassion on people. If you got any God in you at all, you ought to have compassion. The more unfairly that he feels like life has treated him, the less compassion he's going to have for the bad things that happen to other people. People that are selfish are all wrapped up in themselves. They're consumed with all the injustice that's been done to them. All the unfair things that they've had to endure. All the bad shakes that they've had in life. And bad fortune. And they're consumed with that. And so when they see somebody else suffering, it just kind of comforts them to know that they're not the only one. It kind of gives them some kind of wretched pleasure to see somebody else suffering instead of them. People who have no compassion are people who have brooded over their own troubles and blamed them on others rather than trusting God with them. You see somebody that has no compassion, that's what I'm describing to you here, and I'm telling you why they have no compassion. That's the reasons why somebody doesn't feel anything for somebody else. You know, you go to this abortion thing where they're murdering and butchering these little babies, and they don't feel a thing. They laugh about it, joke about it. What's the matter with them people? Well, they're wicked to the very core of their soul. But it's more than that. They are so totally selfish. And it is my opinion and theory, if you want to call it that, that I just described them. Those people are, it's like the atheist. I've told you I've never met a real atheist. I've met people who claim they were atheists, but when I poke at them a little bit, I find out they're just mad at God. And that's what these murderous doctors are. And everybody that works there and enjoys it and keeps at it and defends it, they've got a vendetta against God. And what better way to carry it out than to murder little innocent babies and chop them into pieces and get paid big money for doing it. Enrich themselves at the same time. And have no compassion. You read stories about once in a while they're doing it in ignorance, a nurse or somebody that works, or even a doctor. I've seen doctors give a testimony of it. When it suddenly somehow it got through to them what they were doing. And they stopped doing it. They had compassion. Why do they not want you to see videos like that movie they come out with here a while back? Because it'll stir compassion in people. For those innocent lives that they're snuffing out. And compassion is a pretty strong thing. It's more than just emotion. It'll move people to action. You'll risk your life. Yes, sir. Raymond, I'm sure when you were in Vietnam, you seen people risk their lives. And you probably did for somebody else who was in trouble or was wounded. I've heard other men talk about the helicopters coming in. Right in the fire. Knowing that they're liable to die themselves, but it's just got to be. You've read all kinds of stories of World War II where these men went in at great risk of their own life. Well, what's the motivating thing behind that? Compassion. You can't leave your fellow soldier to die. You can't leave him there for the enemy to get him. You got to do something. Even if it costs you. I'm just saying to you, real compassion will move people to action. That's why they don't want you to see these films. They don't want you to hear these testimonies. They don't want you watching that little baby on the sonogram or the x-ray opening his mouth and screaming when they chop his legs off and tear him to pieces. The silent cry, remember that years ago? They don't want you showing pictures of them to people of actually what they're doing. They don't want you to... They forbid all that. That's why when, you know, they can wiretap anybody, they can look at our emails, they can listen to everything, they can do spy on everybody. But when somebody goes in an abortion clinic with a camera and secretly tapes them in their violence and vile actions, they get arrested and put in jail. Yeah. That's what's happened in the last couple or 3 years here. They don't want this to happen because it's a powerful thing. And it's a pretty universal thing. You got to be some kind of a dark soul not to have compassion on somebody that's hurting, or somebody that's in trouble, somebody that's suffering. To have no feeling? It doesn't stir you at all? Depends on how much love's in there. If it's one of your children, you're going to move. If it's one somebody you really love, you're going to do something about it. Yes, sir. Ain't nobody going to do that and get away with it to one of your loved ones or one of your children. Your love and compassion will stir you to action. Compassion is one of the good traits of humanity. It's one of the attributes of God that has that is hardest to erase out of the heart. It takes such sin and selfishness, I mean, that we can't imagine, to completely eradicate compassion from the human heart. Now, it takes some kind of sin and wickedness to bring a person to the place where they do not have compassion on anybody or anything. Now, it happens. The prisons are, they're full of people like that. There's people walking up and down the streets that are just like that. They can cut your throat in a drop of a hat and not even blink an eye. Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. I didn't even read it, but I saw on the news this week, I think Wanda put something on there about it too, some wretch of a devil somewhere tortured this little toddler. He wore a werewolf mask and tortured him with a shock collar and something else, you know, a torch. That's the kind I'm talking about. No compassion. Nothing but pure evil. Take pleasure in the suffering of others. What did Hitler have to do to them people that did all the gassing and shooting and executing over there? We had to bring them to a place where they had no feeling. No compassion. Compassion is blinded by hatred. If you hate a certain color of people, a certain race of people, a certain nationality of people enough, yeah, it'll kill your compassion for them. Yeah. That's why that it's so wrong. And that's why Jesus said that you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, if you hate your brother without a cause, yes, sir, you're a murderer. Because it takes you right to the same place. It stops you from having compassion on them. And we got to be careful about that, because we're living in a time of much evil, and we associate it with people, certain groups of people. It's like the Muslims, see? We and the Arabs, we class them all together. And we've got to be careful not to do that. Now, I know that's where all the evil's coming from. I mean, they're every one. All the terrorists are Muslims. Everything that's happened in the last 40 or 50 years, every act of terrorism, almost without exception, you can trace it right back to them. But, you know, there's a bunch of them in the world. And there's people that are identified with them who don't agree with that at all. And so, how could you not have compassion? I mean, are you so far into it that you could just, that it doesn't mean a thing for you, to you, that their children are suffering and being butchered and maimed over there? And, I mean, no. You still ought to have compassion. It ought to be a natural thing. It's not something you can drum up. I'm not talking about some act you can do or perform or some work that you do. This is not a work. This comes from what you are. You have no compassion on people because of who they're identified with. They said a little baby got killed over there in Israel. Now, they've fired over 600 rockets at Israel in the last 24 hours, more than that now. So Israel's mopping up with them. I mean, they don't put up with it. They don't tell them, we're going to do it, we're going to think about this. They don't take no time to study about what's the best response to this. They've already done that. And I mean, it's already charted out. When they do this, this is what we do. And so before their rockets hardly quit smoking, Israel's done. I mean, there's smoke where it come from. Because they go over there and they deal with it. And I've watched and read and heard about how Israel deals with them. They warn those people. They text all their phones and warn them what's fixing to happen, where they're going to hit. And if you don't want to be hurt, you get away from there. They drop leaflets on them. They take time to do all that to warn the common people to get out of the way. Do the Muslims do that? No. And then a baby got killed. You know, 14-month-old baby got killed. Well, now that's a shame. I don't look at that and say, well, too bad. No, I think, man, somebody's baby died because of a bunch of wicked devils who are against every man and every man against them. They can't get along with nobody. They're filled with hatred. And they go on living their lives, and some innocent life is snuffed out because of them. That's what I think. I feel bad for that mother of that baby. I don't care who they are. In this dark and evil time which we live, it can be found everywhere if you look for it. Something to have compassion on. Compassion is such a strong thing in us that it'll distort our good judgment. Evil people play upon this. That's why the Arabs fight the way they do. That's why they put their missile launchers right in schoolhouses, in churches, right in neighborhoods where children are playing. That's where they put them. You know why they do that? Because they're counting on the enemy, the ones they hate so bad, and the ones they want to make everybody think is so evil. They believe that they will have compassion and not do it because of the innocent lives it'll be. They're counting on that compassion, see? So compassion is such a strong thing in us that it'll distort our good judgment. We'll do the wrong thing sometimes, or we will not do the right thing because of the compassion we feel. God is compassionate. As with everything else, He's the King of it. Yet God is probably falsely accused more in this matter than in any other. Are you listening to me? God is full of compassion. He is the most compassionate being in the universe. Nobody has as much compassion, no angel, no human that ever lived, as God does. And yet He is accused more of not caring than anybody else. Lay to God's charge. If God's a God of love, how could He let this happen? How could He do this? If He could have stopped it, if He's all powerful, couldn't He have stopped it? Well, then if He didn't stop it and He could have, He's evil. See? He doesn't care. It seems that the first thought that enters the mind when we find ourselves in trouble is that, well, God don't care. God's forsaken me. Where's God? If He cares, why don't He do something about this? And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and saying to Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Mark chapter 4, verse 38. They're in the ship on the sea in a bad storm. He's asleep on a pillow. They're scared to death. And instead of saying, help, Lord, don't You care? You don't even care. We're about to sink and You don't care. That's how people do God. What a rotten thing. How rotten is that? To accuse the most compassionate, the only one that cares all the time, and say You don't care. How abominable, how offensive it must be to God. Jesus just got up and rebuked the wind and the waves and said, "Peace, be still." He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." How utterly wrong and unfair it is to accuse God of not caring. There's no other attribute of God that's stressed more strongly in the Word of God than His compassion. Let me read you a couple of verses here, three of them. Psalm 86, verse 15. "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion." This is our verse that we read when we started. "And gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Psalm 112, verse 4. "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." That's one of my favorite verses right there. Psalm 112, verse 4. "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness," because He's full of compassion. God don't forget you. He don't get you out on a limb and then saw the limb off. The devil will tell you that he's done that he's going to do that. He's going to make all the circumstances look like that's what happened, all right. But God don't ever believe it. God never does that. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Psalm 145, verse 8. His compassion doesn't even depend on how we treat Him. He's this compassionate anyway. He has compassion on us. Boy, you better be thankful about that. What if He was like us? Yeah. What if we had to earn His love, earn His respect? What if we had to do that? What chance would we have? None. What if He treated us just like we treat Him? Because that's our rule. We treat people the way they treat us. I mean, we give it back to them, boy. We ain't going to let them get by that. They ain't going to say that to me. They ain't going to do that to me. I'll show them. What if God was like that with us? What if it all depended on us getting right, doing right, earning God's respect and love and compassion? But thankfully, it's not that way. "Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues." Psalm 78, verse 36, that is. I'm going to read some more there, but think about that just a minute. Now, this is how it opens up and starts. They flattered God with their mouth. Oh, He said, "He's so wonderful. Praise God. I love God. He's been good to us. Yes, sir." And they lied to Him with their tongues. "For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant." Y'all listening? I mean, there's a rotten bunch of people. Are you getting the picture? Well, they're rotten. "But He, comma, being full of compassion, comma, forgave their iniquity, comma, and destroyed them not." What would you have done? What do you do when people treat you like that? Two-faced people that talk about you to your face like, "Oh, you're so wonderful and I love you." And then as soon as you turn your back, they're lying about you, lying to you. How you feel about people like that? You have compassion on them? That's not really... We're not prone to that, are we? Not without God working us over real good. It takes a lifetime for God to grind out of us all of this selfishness till we really become like Him in that. And when somebody does us that way, we feel sorry for them. I mean, an immature Christian is not going to. That's some of the meat. That's some of the maturity. I mean, that's after you've been through some things. When you really do. I mean, instead of it making you angry, instead of you just wanting to start plotting revenge immediately, you just look at them and think, "You poor soul." That's how God is. They lied to Him. They wouldn't keep His covenant. Their heart wasn't right with Him. But he forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. That tells you something about God. God feels. We're made in his image and likeness, so there's, and I know we're stretching here, but I mean, he turned away his anger, it says, many times. He turned away his anger. When they did that to him, he felt angry. But instead of acting in anger, God acted in compassion. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Remembered what we were. They're just flesh. They're just dust. He remembered that, so he had compassion. Compassion differs from pity in that it involves action. God always pities, but he has the knowledge and wisdom to not do something about it when it's the wisest and best thing to do. So don't ever think that when you're in trouble or you're suffering and nothing happens and you pray and God doesn't fix it for you or for one of your loved ones, don't think that he doesn't care. Just realize that he's wiser and he's looking at something that you're not seeing. He will always do right. He will always do good. And he will always have compassion. Many times we have compassion, but we have no power to or means to do anything about it. God don't ever have that problem. You ever look at the starving people on the other side of the world somewhere where there's a famine or something? I read in the news yesterday where North Korea, of course, their crops are all bad this year. And so now they've rationed the food and everybody gets 11 ounces a day. 11 ounces. Probably of rice full of bugs and mold. They got to live on that. Think about that tomorrow when you're throwing food out for the dog. Or tonight when we go back here and eat and we throw a bunch of stuff out because we don't want it and we got something else on our mind. I mean, well, what does your heart want to do? Well, you want to do something. Why can't we feed those people? Why can't we do something to help? How are we going to? How? Their fat dictator won't let nobody help them. Any help that comes that way, they'll take it away. And use it, sell it to buy more gunpowder, missiles, or cigars, or whiskey for him. He drinks the best whiskey. He eats the best food. And has everything the best, and everybody else gets 11 ounces of rice a day. It makes you have compassion on those people. Because I've read and seen, and you have too, but I mean, over there in that terrible dark place, there's people hiding with a Bible somewhere. How can your heart not feel anything? You say, well, God's forsaken them. No, he's not. I mean, this is all a messed up deal, the world is. But it's temporary. Just remember that. And when it's all over, God is going to judge every man and woman that ever lived. And everything is going to be set right. Every injustice is going to be righted. Everybody's going to be compensated. Think about that. Don't you believe that's right? I know it's right. God said so. You're going to be rewarded according to your works. Everybody. Saved, lost, everybody. So cheer up. He's a compassionate God. He's watching. He's keeping records. Diligent, detailed records. And that goes for our little lives too. Don't think that every little injustice or wrong that you suffer in this life is not going to be compensated in eternity. That's how I make it. That's how I've made it for a long time. God is the judge. God judge between me and thee. That's what it comes down to. And you just got to believe it and trust in it. One of the outstanding things, characteristics of Jesus and His life on earth was His compassion. I'm going to read you a few verses here and then we'll be done. But now listen, this is Jesus. Mark chapter 1 verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched Him. And saith unto Him, I will, be thou clean. That's the leper, said talking about a week or two ago. Jesus looked at that old leper. And instead of saying, he had compassion on him. He looked at him and thought about his wretched state and his poor life and his hopeless situation. And he said, oh, I can fix this. And he reached out and touched him and said, I will, be thou whole. And it was so. Why did he do it? Why did Jesus do that? Because he had compassion on him. He cared. Yes. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. Like we sang the song. And Jesus, in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. I mean, that was his first reaction. That was his first emotion, his first feeling when he saw people lost, sick, crippled, lepers. The first reaction that he felt every time was compassion. He came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. You see, we're messed up in this. We look at people and we get mad at them. We get disgusted. We're angry because it just ain't right. It oughtn't to be that way. Well, that's the wrong feeling. Charity doesn't do that. Charity thinketh no evil. Oh, I've been thinking about this a lot. Mercy. And that's where our minds go, see? What a wrong, what a dirty, rotten thing. This ain't right. This shouldn't be. Instead of having compassion. He looked on the multitude and they was like sheep without a shepherd. He didn't say them low-down, dirty Pharisees did this. It's their fault. These people wouldn't be in this trouble if it wasn't for that bunch of low-down. He just looked at them people and said, he had compassion on the people. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him. Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. And said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and I have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. This is where Jesus said, look, I have compassion on this multitude. They've stayed with me 3 days. They ain't had nothing to eat. And he said, I will not send them away without something to eat. And they're sitting there saying, what? We ain't got nothing to feed them. What? 200 pennies worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient for this bunch. 5,000 men and besides women and children. I believe that's right. And but he said, I ain't going to send them away without something to eat. I've heard preachers and other Christians believe that you shouldn't do stuff like that. They called it a social gospel. When you go there and you try to use medicine to doctor them and you feed them food and all of that. Nah, they wouldn't pet a dime for that. You just need to go there and preach the gospel to them. Tell them they're going to go to hell if they don't get saved. And if you give them a sandwich, why, you're off the rails, they say. No, Jesus, he wasn't like that at all. He said, these people are hungry. They need something to eat. And he said, I'm not going to preach to them like this and then send them away with nothing. Brother Williamson took us all to a restaurant to eat out there while we were there. I mean, he say they fed 70? I believe 70-some people in a golden corral. Was it a golden corral? Yeah. I said, man, that's pretty... He said, well, they don't have no facilities like we do to feed a meal and serve a meal or anything. It's just a little old church there in town, and there ain't room, ain't nothing there to do it with. But he told me, I told him, just put it on a credit card. Said, we'll just pay for it with a credit card. He said, the Lord will provide for it, and if he don't, we won't do it no more. So that's what they did. Got to feed, you know. Got to give these people something to eat. So I'm sure they're still paying for it. Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Blind men, two blind men. Jesus had compassion on them. Why did he heal their eyesight, give them their sight back? Because he had compassion on them. Why? Because he cared. He cared about people. God cares about people. He's not a God that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, we don't have a high priest like that, Jesus. I mean, God is not like that. He cares. Lots of people don't care. They'd watch you die and not bat an eye. Wouldn't miss you either. They didn't care how hard you got it. You know, that's one of the reasons why we do have to suffer in life. So you can just get a taste of it and know how it feels. So that when you see somebody else going through the same thing, you'll have compassion on them. How can you hurt and go through terrible things and suffer and then watch somebody else coming down the same way and not feel something for them? I have a real hard time with just like these missionaries the other night. And I try my best not to say something. And if I do say something, I try to say it in a way that it'll encourage them and not... I don't want to discourage them by saying, oh, you don't know what you're in for, boy. I'm telling you, if you knew what you're in for, you'd buy... No. That ain't. But I just look at them and I just know. I know. What they might face. And this grieves me. Because I feel for them. You're young and happy and you're unspoiled and you got, I mean, it's all hurrah. I mean, we're going to. Did you notice in this verse about the blind man, Jesus was moved, it says. Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes. Immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. He was moved with compassion and did something to fix the problem and take away the suffering. All right, let me read another verse. Luke 10, verse 30 says this. And Jesus answering said, this is what we were talking about a while ago. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him. He didn't go around him and pass by on the other side. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And we know the rest of the story. He told the innkeeper, he said, you take care of him and whatever's like, I'll pay when I come back. You just put it on my account. I'll pay. I'll take care of it. What was the difference in those three that passed by? Well, the priests, the religious people, didn't have compassion. Ain't that something? That the hardest hearted, meanest, cold hearted people were religious people, religious leaders. Wow. I want to read a couple more verses and then I'm done. Which now of these three thinkest thou, he said, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. That's about the Samaritan. All right. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. I've quoted that several times already through the message, but that's it. God is a God of compassion. All these attributes of God, you know, ought to be part of our character as we grow in the Lord. Don't you see? I mean, we ought to be more like Him. More godliness, as we talked about here some time ago, but godliness is more, the better meaning of it is God-word. Everything we do as unto the Lord. We can't be infinite like God, omnipresent like God, omniscient like God. We can't be those things. But we're getting into some other things here that absolutely we can. How can the love of God dwell in you and you not have compassion? I mean, how can you see your brother destitute or in need and say to him, well, be you warmed and filled. God bless you, brother. Hope you get some help soon. See ya. And then the Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? If you're like that, how in the world could the love of God be in you if you're not moved with compassion on the suffering of other people? If you just don't care. All right, now real quick, let's just put this right down where we live here. You know, we've been talking about trespass offerings and sins and trespasses last Wednesday night. Or a week ago. Anyway. But what's that about? That's disregarding the rights, the person, the feelings, the well-being of other people. Doing what you want, having what you want, getting it the way you want it, getting what you want, no matter what it does to other people, no matter what it costs other people. How can a person like that have compassion on people? We can't. That's right. There's a difference. All people have compassion to some degree, unless they're one of these dark souls like we talked about that went too far. But it's a powerful thing, and it's in all of us, and we ought to cultivate it. And you ought to guard it. Also, don't get so hard-hearted and cold-hearted that you don't consider other people and their feelings and their life and everything before you just haul off and mow them down or slander them or do something else to hurt somebody else. Do something to bless somebody else. Do something to help somebody else. Don't take a lot either. Let me tell you something. It's just like what I was talking about Jacob. You know, that meant a lot to him just to say a few words. I found it that way. The ones who have the least are always the most grateful. And the most compassionate. All right, well, let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good Lord's day. And thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for this tonight. Please help us to remember this. And help us, Lord, to be more like you in this. I pray you would work in our hearts, that we would have hearts of compassion, that we'd live in this, that we'd look at everybody else and realize that we don't know everything about them, and we don't understand what's brought them to this place. And maybe it was their own foolishness. Maybe it was their own sin. But that shouldn't stop us from having compassion on people that are in trouble. Pray you bless the Word of God to our hearts now. And bless the time together back here in Jesus' name. Amen.